It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're continuing the study in the book of Revelation, and we're chapter 3, and we're at the 20th verse, but I'm going to just read again the full church of Laodicea, which will be the 14th through the 22nd verse. So please open your Bibles, if you can, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, you can sure do that, 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com. If you would like to visit our website, we have many messages, our Constitution, Plan of Salvation. We found there, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Once again, we're going to begin Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I'm glad that you had an opportunity to listen to the reading of God's Word. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today and enjoy this precious time. It's wonderful, dear Lord, to walk each and every day with you, serving you, praising you. Most of all, it's wonderful to know you as my Savior, my personal Savior. Thank you, dear Lord, for dying on the cross for me. I hope that all today that are listening know you as their Savior, that they have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. I hope they can tell a time when they trusted in you. And I'm not talking necessarily about a given date and time, but an event. I know exactly where I was saved, halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house. That's where I was saved. I was walking back from doing the chores, and the Lord had been working on me. I'd been studying, reading His Word, and I just got down on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me, and He did. Because, you see, He died on the cross of Calvary. So please, trust in Jesus today. Call upon Him that you'll know Him personally, not just someone that a historic event, but you have to ask Him to come into your heart to save you. He will, but please ask. Father, please, I just ask that you'll touch every heart. Those that have come by faith to you, grow them, and those that have not, bring them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at this church of Laodicea. We've been on this church for a few times now, and I just ask that you take a very good look at this church, because this church is today. This is where we are, and you'll find the Lord has been pushed out. He is not inside the church. He is not in the assembly. He is outside. He is knocking. That 20th verse says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Remember, we found earlier, "So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." The Lord in the 15th verse, the verse before that, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would rather that you be one or the other." And so, please, today we have churches that build everything upon programs. We need to build the church upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, no programs, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find and know the Lord Jesus by and through His Word. So please look to His Word. Because most churches today, the Lord Jesus is not inside. They have stopped preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They have went off on, again, some program of some sort or other. They're following some denomination's rules, and they don't preach the Word of God from cover to cover. They don't preach there's a hell. They don't preach there's a heaven. If they preach there's a heaven, they preach everybody's going. That's contrary to the Word of God. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're dying in your sin. You're dead in your sin. You need Jesus Christ. So please trust in Him today that He comes and saves you, and He will if you'll just call upon Him. But we find that the Lord is outside. He has been pushed out because we have left the Word of God. He's pushed out. And again, He's not in the assembly, but He's outside. But I want you to see what He's doing outside. "I am standing at the door and knock." And knock. God's grace is so sufficient. Even when the church has pushed Jesus out, He doesn't go away. He stands outside. Doesn't force Himself in, but He stands outside and He knocks. Just hoping. Hoping somebody will open the door and let Him in. He knows, the Lord knows, the whole church will not, because the church is corrupt. The church is corrupt today. It has left the power of God. It's left the Word of God. And so, being on the outside, you see, He stands there and He knocks because He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He is searching for the unsaved. But He will never force Himself in. So you see, if you're one of those places, and I hesitate to call you a church, because if you're not preaching the gospel, you're the church. It's not a church. Church is a gathering of believers. And if you stop preaching the gospel, you may have some believers, you may not. And it's very sad. And the only reason you probably have maybe a few stragglers that would be true believers, they have chosen not to follow the Word of God, and so they are not leading their children and their grandchildren and their families to the Lord. They're just going to church. Well, Jesus come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's searching for the unsaved, but He will not force Himself in. I can't say that enough. I want to give you an example, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. And so if you please turn to that chapter with me. Luke, the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to go to the 24th chapter, and we're going to read wonderful verses of Scripture here. Luke chapter 24. Verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them." Now, this is on the road to Emmaus, and it's a beautiful, beautiful story, because these two were traveling, and they were discussing what had been going on. And maybe it's even worthy of just reading this section here. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and had been laid in the grave, and he'd been in the grave 3 days, and then he rose again. Now, listen to this beautiful. We'll start clear back at the 13th verse. I hope that you enjoy this if you haven't read it for some time, or maybe you've never studied this. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They're trying to figure out what had happened. They was reasoning back and forth. You know, sometimes that just causes nothing but trouble. Verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And you see, Jesus walked with them, and he was listening to their conversation. And so he just asked him, he said, I need to know what's going on. What are you talking about here? And then verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? In other words, what's just happened? Don't you know what's taken place? He said to them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he made as though he was to go further. But they constrained him, saying, you know, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as they sat at meat with him, he took and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he had was known of them in the breaking of bread. That's quite a lengthy reading there, but I just did not want to just jump into the verses, especially if you're not real familiar with it or if it's just been a little while. I can read that every day, and it just excites you to know that these men, as they were heading back to their home, and in the process, why Jesus joins himself to them, and he hears them talking about the events that's taken place, and they were really sad. They didn't believe he was risen from the dead. And so he just walks along with them and visits with them, and he begins to open up the scripture. And you've got to see this, because beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. You see, you can take from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, it's all about Jesus. And if you don't proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ in every verse of Scripture and speak of Him crucified and risen again, you've missed it. You've missed it. You want to know why some of the people, many churches, that the Lord Jesus is on the outside knocking, desiring just one person would open the door and let Him in. Instead of that, why they are rejecting Him and ignoring Him. And we find here, and again, the verses and the purpose of reading it is that He didn't force Himself. He, as they drew nigh into the village, where they were going, He made as though He was going to go further. You see, He didn't invite Himself. They constrained Him to come. And, oh, if they hadn't have done that, what would they have missed? They would have missed that opportunity for them to see the risen Lord Jesus. And so I hope that you enjoyed those verses of Scripture, because it's sure a blessing to read those and to look at those. And so please know without a question that the Lord Jesus will not force Himself in. And He is explaining that right now with this church as He is saying that He is on the outside. In verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with Me." You see, He knows that there's not going to be many in that church that are going to get saved, but please, that just be one. Just be one. We preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the reason we have these radio programs, the reason we have the website, that folks can go and hear the gospel proclaimed and be saved and born again. Then I just ask you to get out of that dead church and go find one that's alive and preaches the gospel and tells folks how to be saved. "If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with Me." We are saved by grace through faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." He saves us, but we must invite Him in. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must receive Him. We are of the time period of the whosoever will. Jesus knocks, calls, but He never comes in unless He's invited. So you see, you've got to invite Him in. John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." The door of salvation, the door to salvation, is open to sinners. They don't need to knock. The church door of the Laodicean assembly was closed to the face of the Lord Jesus, and He stands on the outside knocking. When they shut Him out, He didn't go away. He just stayed right there. You remember Noah, back in Noah's day, and he was told to build the ark. And that construction was for 100 years. He built that ark. God had him preach and preach and preach. And when it came time for judgment, because the old world just got more and more wicked, much like today, Noah and his three sons, and Noah's wife and the sons' wives, and the animals that God chose to put on the ark, went on the ark. It wasn't when Noah decided. It was when God decided, because Noah was called to go on, and God shut the door. God shut the door, and the Lord Jesus actually was in with Noah and protected him. And we know that for 40 days and 40 nights it rained, but it was just a little short of a year that it went on, that they floated around before they came back off that boat. God preserved them, gave them food to eat, took care of them. He takes care of us even when judgment's going on in this earth, in this world. And so please, follow after the Lord Jesus. But understand that when the judgment was here, "If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with Me." Noah listened. He walked onto the ark and God shut the door. But the Lord Jesus was with him. How about Lot? You know, we have judgment coming, and again, God says in his word, I will spew thee out of my mouth because you are so ungodly. And he's speaking to the liberal churches of today. If that's you, shame on you. Confess to the Lord Jesus. And maybe it's just going to be you. Maybe you're the preacher of the church, or maybe you're one of the members, and you've been a member forever, and your family's been members forever. But you're hearing this, and you're realizing that, wait a minute, we depend on programs. We have to have soup suppers and ice cream socials and all that stuff to finance our youth group and our church activities, because it's the only way we get enough money. And if the Lord Jesus is present, God's people will give. You don't have to worry about that. Judgment came upon Lot, but you see, the Lord Jesus sent his two angels down to take Lot and his two virgin daughters out of the city of areas of Sodom and Gomorrah before judgment came. And now today, we could ask the question that Jesus asked back in Luke 18:8, and that is, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? So you see, he's on the outside of the church today, and he's knocking. I praise the Lord, he's not on the outside of this church. He's on the inside of this church. We preach salvation. We sing the old hymns. We proclaim the Word of God. We stand upon the Word of God. We don't follow and have any programs. Never have. We just need Jesus. Noah just needed Jesus. Lot just needed Jesus. Total destruction. The earth was completely covered with water, and all the animals, all the people that were not in the ark died. In Lot's day, it was a localized judgment of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the valley. Lot was saved. Lot took him out. And so you see what a wonderful day and things that we can trust in, that the Lord Jesus, before this world really comes and begins to fall apart, he will come and take us away. But the question is once again asked, when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, the Lord knew that we would continue to walk away. You know, many believers, many believe that the Lord will return on Sunday morning, somewhere between 11 and 12, you know, during the morning church service. And I agree. There are going to be many services. When the rapture comes, when he comes to get the church, there will be many churches. If he would come during the church service, the church hour, they won't even know that Jesus has come, because nobody will be gone. Nobody, because the church of Laodicea, there's not going to be anybody in the church of Laodicea that will enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. Many services will not be disturbed. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. To him that overcomes, sit with me. Oh, my friend, what a joy. He wants us to come to him during this time. As the times are, time is shortened and the days are numbered, he is going to come and get us, because we're in the church age of the Laodicean church. Church after church, the Lord Jesus is on the outside knocking, just desiring that someone will let him into their heart. And I hope that someone is you. We've got some verses of Scripture back in Hebrews that we're going to look at concerning the overcoming. And so if you would please go to the book of Hebrews, not very far here, Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath anointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his Son, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. What tremendous verses of Scripture showing you what Jesus has done. Please, trust in Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus. Stay in Hebrews with me. We're going to go to the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. I hope you can hear the pages turning. I'm turning to those verses myself. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Please, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is sat down at the right hand. We know where he is. He's at the right hand. We got a race to run. We got work to do. But you must be born again first. You must trust in Jesus Christ first before you can ever begin to be a part of this race. Now let's go back just a little bit to the 5th chapter, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. 5, 7, and 8. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience of the things which he suffered. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for us. He is our Savior. Please that you trust in him. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, by his life of patience and sacrifice, by his death was all done for his Father's glory. What an opportunity. Jesus now sits at the right hand of his Father. John chapter 10. We're just enjoying these verses of Scripture. I hope you are. I hope you're looking at the Word of God, because you see the Word's where the power is. And so if you want your sins forgiven and you want to be born again, just go to the Word of God. Begin to read the old beautiful Gospel of John. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, the Lord Jesus surrendered his life, died on the cross of Calvary, that we can live. And please trust in that. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, it wasn't because they nailed him to the cross. It wasn't they had brutally beat him to an inch of his life, because, you see, he gave up the ghost. There was a time appointed that he should be born, and there was a time that he would die for our sins. And, oh, it's wonderful that he has died for us. Jesus overcometh, and by and through him, we too can overcome. We're running a race. We must overcome and have the privilege to sit with Jesus in his throne. A lot of people just say, as long as I get to heaven, that's all I need. I don't need anything more than that. Well, you do. You need to be born again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh, I beg, I hope that you're listening today and you're hearing today. Oh, yes, you can listen to me over and over again, or any other preacher that preaches the gospel, and not listen. Listen today. Hear today. Trust in the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?